12 Man Podcast, everybody. It's the 12 Man Podcast. It's the last one of the season, properly. None of this last one of the season, then doing Confederations Cup ones. It's the last one of the season. That music you just heard, it's the second last time you're going to hear it. So you're going to hear it again at the end. That's it. Nice to see some back, of course.
Unless we use skills out for summer again.
Yeah, Declan Murray over there.
Hello.
And Ruth Owen over there. Hey, gentlemen.
Oh. Thank you. Very nice today.
It's the first compliment you've ever paid.
I'm just so happy that we're finished.
Because I hate sitting here with you two guys
talking about football. Oh, what else? So many other things we'd be doing with my day.
Like getting on Twitter and tweeting at 12manpodcast. Or
emailing
at 12manpodcast@hotmail.com. Or go on to Facebook where it was all happening before summer. It'll be happening again after we finish this and in the Premier League build-up.
Yeah, it's all to come now, lads. It's all to come. But look, come on, we're getting ahead of ourselves. Confederations Cup's only finished. It was quite the tournament, wasn't it?
It was spectacular.
Sad to see the end of it.
I actually am. I've actually very much enjoyed, you know, there's only tennis on the telly now and I don't like tennis. So
cycling on now, do I know?
I'm not mad about cycling. I'm very specific. I like football. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, I don't understand tennis. It confuses me.
Yeah. But, disappointing to see the end of the tournament now. Another while till we get some football. Although I suppose there's friendlies kicking in. You might catch a... Are Arsenal going to throw some sort of mad cup that they can win in their stadium at the start of the year?
No,
like
we
that?
Didn't do it last year.
They'll play Portsmouth, somewhere from Korea. And maybe Ajax B, and Walcott will score 9 goals in every game and get a gold boot award for himself.
And then to count those goals towards proper goals in the season.
Yeah.
And we'll claim the Emirates as a trophy.
Oh, but he's got 306 in his last 8 games, mostly because of that.
Mostly because of that, but, you know, never know. You sad?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
As you can hear.
Concise.
Robot voice over there.
Don't want it to be too serious. Get to the point. Spain, lads, they lost to Brazil. Is this the end of Spain? Brazil win 3-0.
Stop that.
The end of Spain. The death of Spanish
the death
football.
Of Spain. It's going to be new.
Yeah.
Shoot them
off into space. They lost the game.
Sack the manager. Just sack all the players.
Del Bosque and Scolari could easily be brothers. If you look at them.
They do look a bit like.
I actually had to go because I remember seeing. I thought that a while ago, but now that they were playing each other in the finals, I actually have to look at a picture of them side to side. I'm like, yeah, one of them could be like the Mario brothers getting very old, you know?
Which one's which?
Del Bosque would be Luigi, and Scolari would be Mario, because Scolari's a bit smaller, but a little bit pudgier, I think, and if you look at Del Bosque's face, very long, long and saggy.
Yeah, he does have very long face. Do you think he could jump in the air and kick his legs to keep him?
If you got a raccoon suit, he probably could fly.
Who is Toad in this scenario?
I have no idea.
I'd like to know.
Whoever you want.
Fred.
Fred could be Toad.
Yeah, Fred could be a bit of a princess.
Princess?
Me.
Definitely Taras.
Anyway.
That was odd.
Good analysis of the final. We done?
Yeah, we're pretty much moving on. In the Uruguay in the second round. Spain losing to Brazil. 3-0 though. It was pretty convincing for Brazil.
I think...
Fred with a wonderful opening goal.
Really?
Well taken goal.
Do you have anything to say about Fred?
Yeah, he took his goals well.
I would say read that letter in front of you to whom it may concern. I was wrong about Fred.
Oh, were you? Oh, it's nice of you to admit it.
Rue was wrong about Fred.
I still refuse to acknowledge that I was wrong about Fred. He scored a few goals.
No, come on. He was the joint golden boot winner.
With Torres.
Yeah. Who scored 5 goals against Tahiti.
Four goals. If you're going to argue with me, you can't be using them.
Anyway, yes, Brazil were fantastic. I thought Spain didn't help their cause, though. Spain...
were terrible.
They didn't get it tactically right. They were isolated. Like, as many commentators mentioned, Uruguay tried to do the same as Brazil did to Spain, but didn't manage it, and Spain just outclassed Uruguay. Brazil did about relatively the same. I don't think they did that much different, maybe at a higher quality, and Spain just they were very isolated. Anytime they went to go forward, Iniesta was pretty much the only one supporting Torres.
Yeah, and it did seem like Iniesta kind of tried to take it upon himself to drive the team forward. Mm-hmm. And would go, okay, I'll get the ball, run at the defence, where am I going, what am I doing?
But that's
I don't
because
know what
usually
I'm doing now.
Usually Spain,
yeah, exactly.
They usually have about 8 options when you're. I mean, if you look up until the Italy game, with like replaying Spain's football, it was exactly like that. They had about 6 to 8 options every time they're on the ball, yeah. which is immaculate, and which is what has made them so great. And over the last, against Italy, they struggled, and, you know, the extra time obviously didn't help, but in the game against Brazil, and nearly every occasion, Torres was alone in the box. No matter who had the ball, yeah. it was just him, and it was like 4 Brazil defenders, plus Paulinho and Gustavo and whoever else. Whereas every time Brazil got forward, there was, I mean, we can say it, Fred, Oscar, Neymar, and Hulk. None of them wanted to defend anyway. So, but like that, they're always forward. There's always a man, you know. And Neymar, I thought, was excellent at every time they went on the break.
Yeah,
he was just fantastic. Yeah, obviously, dived, but
it's his job to get part of that break and force forward and keep the, you know, Hulk running the other side and Fred in the middle. And then Neymar, probably the paces are a lot more skillful. It's probably his job to bring that ball forward and, you know, try to get at Spain, because that seemed to be the best way to get at them, was counter-attack, because they defended quite well, Brazil. They kind of sat back, and I mean, okay, Brazil got kind of lucky with their first call, I mean.
Yeah, I think Ramos and Arbeloa had an absolute nightmare of a game. It really was terrible. Really was poor.
Well, half a game came off.
Yeah,
that's the thing. I think, I mean, that's a good question. Will he be
part of that team either?
Part of that team now. I have my doubts. I've always had my doubts. He's at Liverpool and I have my doubts. You know, I'm not so sure he should be in there. But between himself and Ramos, they made an absolute mess of clearing that first ball in. And I thought Casillas should have gotten the ball as well. I thought he should have dived on
well,
the ball.
Well, he was down.
Yeah, but Fred, I thought he should have dived on the ball.
Good reaction by Fred to just kind of kick at it and get it up over him more than anything. And he's surprised he didn't kick him in the face.
Yeah.
But I think he took a second goal brilliantly as well.
Yeah,
like that was starting the second half. It's 2-0 at that stage. He kind of cuts in, 2 minutes into the half and just smacks the... Well, he cuts in, the ball comes to him, he cuts back.
Oh, yeah,
across. Yeah. It's a wonderful goal.
Yeah. He did miss one or two up until then, though, which was frustrating. It was like, you should be finished.
He had one about...
Soon after us. Not soon after us.
25 minutes in.
Yeah,
something like that. Just before Luis steered one off the line, wasn't it? Which was a remarkable clearance from David Luis. To get it up and over the bar. It was from... Was it Pedro?
Yeah, Pedro was.
I think it was Mata who broke down the wing and crossed.
It was came from Torres. The one good thing that he did, lovely reverse ball to Mata, and it looked like I couldn't see any other outcome other than Pedro was going to finish. And even when he kicked it in,
it was going in.
Yeah, and then just David Luiz out of nowhere. Usually he's very noticeable, but kind of snuck up.
I was tweeting when the game was on myself at the time. It was one of those moments in the final that's like, oh, that's a great moment for a final to have.
Yeah.
It really picked, like, the atmosphere already was, everyone commented on how amazing the atmosphere was, but after that moment, it was just, like, insane. Like, there was quite a bit of high tempo, picked everyone up, it woke everyone up.
Yeah.
You know, adrenaline was high, sort of, after that. It was a perfect moment for a final. You know?
Like, that really kind of perked, certainly, David Luiz as well, into action. And just any time the ball came near him, up until, I'd say, the end of the half, he was just, like, heading it away and hoofing it away just getting it out, and the whole crowd was like, fucking deadly, he kicked it, look at him.
Except they were chanting, not rambling and punching their knees like you were.
They were happy, I was more
stressed. One moment after the goal, or after the clearance, I think it was kind of straight after, the ball came back up and he kind of ran through and just kind of cleared it away with his chest and brought it down and controlled it lovely. And he was like, oh, that's brilliant. And then he kind of go, was that for Chelsea?
Well, also, I wasn't listening to BBC because I generally don't, but how often do they go, oh, you know, he's so much to learn about defending. Gary Cahill's great though, isn't he? You know, I wonder where they say that this
Gary
time.
Cahill, John Terry,
Neymar, goal.
That goal,
yeah.
It was like a Gareth Bale goal, the power he got, so little backlift. He
did very well to get back on side.
The
amount of times you see a player run off side and kind of go in a bit of a huff. I should have given me the ball earlier or something. Oscar did very
well.
Yeah, it was an excellent goal all round.
He took a lovely touch and just went and passed that there. Nobody's marking him. And Spain flung their hands up in the air. Tough.
I thought Busquets had quite a poor game, actually. He's usually very important for Spain in these games. I thought himself and Xavi were relatively non-existent at doing what they usually do.
Xavi was terrible.
Nothing.
He was terrible. It's the same as the Italian game.
Xavi
didn't play at all.
Xavi can be like that a lot of the time in games, and we say, oh, he finished with 90% or 99%
pass
vision. That's fantastic, but when nobody else is driving the team forward, he's not really the man who does it.
No, but exactly, in the role that him and Busquets play in that midfield, I thought they were very poor. Busquets is there to clean up all that, you know, and not. You can't blame him for every time Brazil break.
He wasn't.
But I mean, he should. Oscar is basically he's watching Oscar. If you think of the shape of those teams, and Oscar got free quite a lot in that game, I felt, and he was quite influential.
I think Busquets has another job to do, and that's to cover Alba when he goes forward, and Alba goes forward quite a lot, and if nobody's going into that spot, if he has to follow Oscar, then there's going to be an opening in the right back, left back slot, and that's where Neymar or Hulk is going to run into. And
Hulk doesn't like to run.
Hulk has a massive ass compared to the rest of his body. It's just like,
actually, I don't know where he was coming from.
Rue texted me actually at the time asking me what was it.
Why were Hulk's shorts so tiny?
Yeah, and I'd come to the conclusion that. Obviously, Hulk, when he gets angry, he turns into the Hulk.
Yeah.
But he wasn't angry, just got a little bit agitated about something. So he kind of grew a just little bit. And his shorts thus shrunk.
And also, after that, ripped. I noticed, I couldn't touch it again because I couldn't just keep commenting on people's shorts. I was feeling Squid's shorts were up to his nipples. He was really high. Anyway, that's irrelevant. What are we talking about?
Arbeloa probably death? Did it to him for taking a spot.
Some, what were we talking about there? Some insightful talk about tactics or something?
Yeah, that was it. That the deep lying playmaker and the role that Xavi plays in Spanish society, really. He's up there with siestas and paella.
Love some paella now.
I love siesta. let's get on to that penalty, Dad.
Yeah. Why did Sergio Ramos take that penalty?
Yeah, that's a real question. Real elephant in the room.
Obviously, yeah, we had to get it out there. We'll cover it in depth in a minute, but...
What? Okay, he did pick the ball up and looked really confident and said, alright, I'm going to take this. And nobody argued with him. But Iniesta was on the pitch. Iniesta never misses penalties. He's a brilliant penalty taker. Mm. Like, never seems to miss. Especially, doesn't let pressure get to him at any stage. Ramos was an awful penalty.
Yeah, I think he's one of the... There's a lot of players I'd put in ahead of him to take the penalty. Yeah. I know he looked confident, but still, I'd probably nearly have anyone else in that midfield.
Yeah, we've seen him score penalties before. Like,
I mean, he scored a few days before in the shooting.
Yeah, and he maybe is a good penalty taker. Seems to be that some centre-backs are. Jamie Carragher apparently was, never took them though.
Not only a great penalty taker, but a great all-round striker.
Yeah,
we saw him great goal scorer.
And he's about to be a great commentator. What can't he do? Pronounce CH probably. Che.
Yeah, I don't know, it wasn't a very good penalty in the end. As we said, he would have three or four players up ahead of him, like, to take that.
There was just the thing that, like, just the angle that he ran at the ball and everything, knew exactly where he was going to try to put it.
Yeah.
And Cesar could guess right. If it was inside the post, Cesar probably would have gotten it anyway.
And tried to look the other way, doing that, I'm looking this way. I was like, you're very obvious what you're going to do here.
It was so obvious. And he was running at it at the wrong angle anyway. He was running at it towards the ball where he should have been put it in the other way. It's the easier thing to do is just slot it into that corner. It's the less obvious thing to do. It's the easiest thing to manage to do.
Yeah.
And he tried to be too clever
I thought it was the moment, though. Like, I mean, again, it makes the final what it was, which was an excellent final. But it adds to the absolute destroyed morale in that game for Spain.
Yeah.
Like, the rest of the game was they're not going to get one now. You know, I didn't. After that, that's...
And then...
You could have seen a fight back to two if they'd gotten that, but after it was that's it. They're
and then
all...
even after that, you know, Cesar pulled off two or three good saves.
Yeah.
And
one, just thought, one very and over was the top. Obvious, yeah, one very absolutely. Over the top of that.
But it was still, it was a good save. And even, you know, before that, they had the clearance off the line, which looked every bit of a goal.
Yeah.
Like, they had done everything right.
Yeah, Cesar made some very good saves in the game.
He did.
Yeah.
There was one... In particular from Pedro, it was just a snapshot, really quick. And Pedro must have been so frustrated. Two good shots on his bad foot as well. Did everything right. And
I pointed out before the game, I'd say inside 5 minutes when it was already 1-0, that I felt Arbeloa and Pedro would be Spain's weakness for that game. When you consider that Marcelo and Neymar were there. And I didn't think Pedro played very well all in all. I don't think he gets... I think he's... I wouldn't have him starting in that team. I don't think he gets involved enough in my life.
I think there's something about him that he does... He's a bit more direct than most of those Spanish players. he's not one of those players that is gonna, you know, link up to play and come short all the time. He runs in behind a lot, which I think adds a lot to Spain when they're playing really well, where they're playing it across and then suddenly they have that outlet where he's sprinting down.
Which is most of the time, I suppose.
Which he does very well. Yeah. It was just when they're being pushed back and their midfield aren't playing that, he's out of the game and it's kind of useless, really.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, they do have other players who can do that. Jesus Navas came on and showed that he can be very direct, and he was arguably more influential because he won that penalty. And even against Italy, he was very good.
Dante must be loving this.
Well, on confederations out.
Yeah, but I mean, he just must be, you know, after going over to Bayern Munich, just kind of go, beating these Spanish lads is easy. Other people are going over Madrid and, you know,
well, he didn't
Barcelona.
Play, did he, Dante?
No, he did, but I'm just saying, like, he won the Champions League, you know,
they
trashed Barcelona, they've gone beating Spain pretty convincingly. He must be just like, ah, these guys are overrated.
Gustavo too.
Yeah, Gustavo too.
He also played. But yeah, what of the red card? Well, one of three possible red cards for Pique.
Yeah, I think it was just, like, this has happened three times already. You have to give a red card.
I think it was a red card regardless of the other.
Yeah, it was a very, very deliberate foul.
Yeah, at which point every TV studio cut to a shot of Shakira as Pique was getting sent off. Almost like a Spanish soap opera type thing, like, oh! Pique! Por qué, Pique? Por qué? It was strange. As I said on Twitter, we all enjoy Shakira. But I was getting a bit sick of it cutting to her every minute for reaction shots. I was like, I want to watch the football. Please stop. We weren't even looking at Scolari, whose reaction shots, in fairness. I don't know if you saw the penalty shootout against Italy, where it just cut to his face. His sweaty, long...
Scolari?
Or Del Bosque, sorry. See, brothers. His sweaty, long, like, unaffected face, which was terrifying. It was really, really scary. I'd love it as a screensaver. You could use it as one of those things, you know, those YouTube prank videos where you get to the end of the maze and then this scary face pops up. It would be Del Bosque.
Hello.
Where you get to the end of the penalty shootout.
Boom! His face just covers the goal. It's like an episode. And I was about to say, it's like the end of a level of Mario. We've already talked about this.
There you go. A lot of Mario problems.
His face
We're heavily influenced by
his face
Nintendo.
Will come when you get the Koopa laugh in the background.
Oh. But what of the other two settings? Well, the other two possible. There was one earlier from Ramos.
Yeah, Ramos had
a run. Ramos
probably should have gone for. I think Neymar was kicked all three times.
Yeah,
Neymar, I think, kicked, yeah.
Yeah.
He was kicked, and also he probably went about 80 miles in the air.
Right, there was one ridiculous one in the Uruguayan
game.
Which was just...
Actually, there's a fantastic video of that. A compilation of... you know those great videos where they edit out the elbow and put in like a Street Fighter guy hitting Neymar. I'll find the video, I'll put up on the old Facebook later, so check that out.
I think we move on to the third place playoff.
Yeah,
good with that, lads. Italy 2 Uruguay 2 was actually an alright game, but it wasn't shown live. It's not over here, so you have to kind of watch highlights of it. Astore scored the first goal for Italy after a Diamante free kick. Hit the bar.
The two of us laughed at us.
It hit Mosera's head. It's back out to the story we tapped in from.
I'd say watching that, the few people, because it wasn't sold out rotten. I'd say the few people that turned up was like, yeah, this is a third place playoff. An own goal off the back of someone's head.
But there are two wonderful free kicks. Diamante scored a free kick himself, and then Cavani scored a free kick. We've seen a couple of free kicks.
Both quite world class.
Is it the ball, lads? Is this what it is? Is the ball going to ruin the next World Cup?
At least it's the end of this tournament and not the start of a tournament, which made them all go, oh, I can take the best shots.
Yeah.
It was it 2006 Fritz. World Cup?
Yeah, 2006. And Frozen Prince had scored from about 8,000 yards out, and everyone was like, someone just strike the ball and completely ruined it.
That happened.
There was a few really good goals.
I think Ziki might score a nice goal against America. Against UFC for Czech Republic in that one. But I remember that first. That was a brilliant open game.
It was 4-2.
Yeah. Phil Lam scored a beauty as well.
Yeah, he did. That was the very first goal. And then Paolo Wanchope scored twice.
That was his World Cup, that.
Was it though?
Yeah.
Was it not Kenwyn Jones' World Cup?
No. Paolo Wanchope's.
Anyway, talking about that, Cavani scored two. He scored another goal. Well, the penalties, though, and it's not really what either team wanted.
No, extra time in a third place playoff, especially for Italy, who had just gone through extra time in a semi final.
And it was underwhelming penalty shootout ever because they won. And fair play to Buffon, he saved three penalties, but he just kind of grew up and went, What are you celebrating?
Like, the Italy players ran down to him, but I wouldn't say they ran.
They kind of hesitated. They're like,
are we really celebrating this?
Like, FIFA are making us celebrate.
I suppose you have
snipers
to.
Were shooting at
them. Yeah.
It seemed like a good game, though.
Did Benucci take one after?
No, he didn't.
I would have put him up for the first. It's a third place playoff. Like, just be like, go on, bury this one. You won't forget about your missed penalty.
Really cruel. Like, I don't want to take one. Gaffer, I want to be the last team. Get up there, Dave. Go and take it.
You're gonna keep taking it until you score.
You're gonna keep disappointing your nation,
Martin Palermo style. Easy on El Martin. Done quite well in the penalty shootout against Spain, but Uruguay were awful in the penalty shootout. Just none of them were confident. They weren't really hit with a lot of conviction. And I've always said about penalties is if you go down the middle, there's not a lot you can do wrong. You know, like Ramos's penalty, for instance, in that game. If he had gone with that much power down the middle, okay, Cesar might have stayed there and saved it, but the chances are it would have bounced back out to him. It's like, but there's more goal to hit if you aim for the left hand side or the right hand side. The chances of it going wide are much higher. You know, and most keepers these days will dive in anyway.
Yeah.
So if you can kind of just put it a little bit to one side.
I mean, there's always the hesitation of putting it down the middle because if it is saved, you probably look stupider than any other.
You don't need to like dink it down the middle. You can give it a good welly down the middle.
A Hasselbank, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, the likes of him and Shearer would absolutely bury penalties into the top of the net, but it'd be straight down the middle. Yeah. James Beattie. Great penalty taker, James Beattie.
Yeah.
Mario Balotelli, good penalty taker.
So. Great at fighting naked in the shower as he is. Spain?
Spain.
You sound like you're trying to say Spain there.
So. I was going to say Spain, but Spain in the penalty shootout as well. They were so calm when you saw it.
I suppose we have to talk a bit about that.
Well, just saying the penalties themselves, that they were so...
12 excellent penalties.
They're so calm, So you don't see that too often. It's like, oh, there's a penalty.
As I was saying on Twitter, I actually thought it was going to go into infinity penalties because they were just all so good.
Yeah,
like, I was like, this could go into, past goalkeepers. Like, you know, goalkeeper maybe the last...
Where you
maybe,
have to come back.
Where you have to do sudden death.
Not like old goalkeepers from the...
Yeah.
Tamborello.
That would be excellent.
For Italy, Francesco Toldo.
You have to call back, like, the Masters team has to travel with you in case it gets to the next penalties.
It's Dino.
I remember there was one... It was an African Cup of Nations game and it was Ivory Coast against Cameroon, it might have been. And it ended 12-11.
Oh, God.
And it was... Drogba took the first penalty for Ivory Coast.
And
then every single person scored.
Yeah.
Throughout the whole thing. He had to take another one and missed it. And whoever had taken it.
Do you change... Scored. You can't change, can you? You have to go in the same order.
Yeah, I think
most
so.
Likely, yeah.
Yeah. Because that would be terrible if you scored... The pen off first, and you're like, I've done my job. And then you see, 11 more, twenty more penalties go in, and you're like, oh, come on.
Yeah. Or even worse, you saw 20 more penalties being missed.
That'd probably
crap.
Nail all of them, it just goes on and on and on.
And I keep hitting them over the paw. well, I guess that's it from the Convergence Cup, lads. Any abiding memories from it?
Honestly, it was a very, very enjoyable tournament. I haven't watched Confederations Cup much in the past because, I'm relatively young. So it's just not something I've... I've aged tremendously since we've started this podcast. But
this one particularly.
Yeah, the Confederations one.
I
suppose a lot something I quite enjoyed about it was seeing the people... who jumped on the Neymar's overrated bandwagon and had never seen him. I enjoyed seeing them prove him wrong because it was like, even if he wasn't exactly the best player in the world in this tournament.
He won the best player in the tournament.
Yeah, he did, but not in the world. Well, no, for the continents, he did. Good, he was the best player in the world in this tournament. But you know, a lot of this was coming from people who hadn't seen him play much. And that's why we kind of reserved judgment. We didn't want to go,
yeah,
oh, this 21-year-old, what an overrated player.
This 21-year-old that's already scored over 100 career goals and earned a €60 million move to Barcelona. He's crap, lads.
It's
going to be really interesting to see him in Barcelona, isn't it?
Yeah, it should be, yeah.
I think we should probably talk a little about that. I mean,
yeah, I'd say Piqué won't be too happy to see him at training first day.
Maybe.
Having gotten sent off.
Well, PK got sent off.
Stupidly kicked him.
But it'll be interesting to see how Neymar and... I know this is going to be one of those obvious things, but how Neymar and Messi actually do work.
Yeah.
Is it going to be like the pitches...
Well, no, Neymar
is big for the two of them, or...
They're both quite small, though, really.
There's a lot of room on the pitch. The new camp is huge.
So maybe if they go away from home and they have to play in a smaller pitch, it might be a bit of a problem.
It's depending on Goodson Park or something. Messi on the right
and Neymar on the...
Messi's not going to be on the right. Messi's going to be in the middle.
Messi would be in the centre. Yeah. And I'd imagine...
Neymar on the left.
I'd imagine Neymar would be on the left.
And then you'll have a... Pedro, Alexis Sanchez. Looks like that'll be his middle.
Going downhill right there. The thing that I think would work the best would be Neymar as a direct replacement for Pedro, because they both are fairly similar, just Neymar is better at what he does.
Yeah. I see what you mean by
who's
that.
Who's going to replace Pedro?
Teo.
Okay.
Rio has this all set out.
Or Iniesta goes out there.
Iniesta could play on the left. Neymar on the...
Fabregas or Thiago Alcantara in the middle.
I think...
What a lovely load of options.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, what do I do? I have this world-class player and this world-class player. I have Pedro.
It's going to be Vojan again. It's going to be very interesting to see how, because, you know, Messi is seen not as a homegrown hero, obviously, but almost that.
Yeah.
At Barcelona, you know, because he's been there so long. So long in the sense of he's still really young, but he will be there so long. But yeah.
Well, I mean, he's been there since he was 15. That's like over 10 years at this stage.
But it'll be interesting to see if Neymar gets any of that kind of treatment. I know he's only 21.
Like hero worship.
Yeah, hero worship. Or will it go to, he has a couple of off games and he's instantly Ibrahimovic. On the other end, we paid a lot of money for him.
Yeah, there is that, but I think, I think the Barca fans would be quite patient with him at the start.
Yeah.
Because I can't.
He is so young, though.
I can't imagine they're going to jump on his back straight away. And there does seem like a lot.
60 million changes that, though.
Yeah, well, I mean, if he has a poor season, maybe. But the first couple of games, we're talking about where they're going to play all these players. Other than Champions League games, or the games against Real Madrid, or possibly Valencia and Atletico, they could play any of them anywhere, and it doesn't freaking matter. They're going to be so interchangeable, I'd say. By the time they get a proper relationship between Messi, Neymar, Pedro, Sanchez, possibly V if he's still there. It won't matter, really.
You can say that, but I mean, we've seen, like last year, Real Madrid had blips here and there. And they're not the only ones capable of that. Barcelona are very capable of having it, especially after players are going to come back demoralised from a lot of what they've been through this year. It's not been a great year for Spain all in all. There's going to be an element of, we can't afford to let... And now with Ancelotti gone in there to Real, who is one of the best tactical managers around, from my point of view, it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, they're going to need them to be on the top of their game most weeks, and to be
burying teams nearly
all the time.
That's the pressure on both of those teams because it's.
But largely, I think Neymar and Messi. I mean, because they're going to be seen as.
Yeah,
possibly two.
The pressure's been on Messi for 5 years.
Oh, true.
60 is
No, I'm not doubting that, but I mean, like, it's going to be interesting to see now how players like, the Spanish players come back, or how Neymar copes with all that.
I think they'd be absolutely fine.
Neymar has proven, mostly in this tournament, that he can handle that pressure.
Yeah, it was different than when he's away from
Brazil. Yeah, I get that.
Yeah,
but
I'm really looking forward to it. I mean, he's going to be doing less ads. That's for sure.
I'm looking forward to seeing less ads. That'd be good. That'd be nice. So the one when he's a cow and he milks himself, that's pretty spectacular.
A can't be real, what is it?
There is a real one.
Oh god, yeah. That's gonna go right on our Facebook page.
I don't know if this is a video or I've read about it anyway.
Interesting.
Yeah. But there's another addition to that whole thing. Isco signed for Real Madrid.
Yeah.
So that's gonna be that's one thing that I'm quite interested in, seeing where he will slot in. I mean, who drops out of that team?
Well, I mean, I think we talked about this a week or two ago and Sock pointed out that Utsal is probably
what I'm talking about is, where do they see Isco fitting? Is he the center of this team?
He should be.
Where Ronaldo's on one side and maybe Di Maria's on the other.
Yeah.
Or do they keep Ozil in the center, or do they have, you know, does he replace Di Maria on the right or the left, or, you know,
I'd be very surprised.
Where do they put Isco into this
team?
Well,
that's assuming that they stick with the same tactic.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's true.
Not like you won't play two up front or even another midfielder.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, that's true.
And where's Modric going to play?
He's not.
We'll see.
Oh, it's all to come, lads. It's all to come. Just go back to England for a bit. David Moyes started at Man United this week. Just lovely photos of him getting lost around all around. Shout with that by all men.
The whole thing looks awkward. The whole
incident looks awkward. Because
they did it as if it was, you know, if you get like a little stick man at the end of like a copy and flick the pages. That's what it looked like. It looked like if you just flick through them really fast, Moyes would kind of go around with a big cringy face going beside doors, eating a bowl of Cocoa Pops, getting shouted at by some old man, standing beside his little mouse mat.
It would be a terribly animated thing, because David Moyes' expression and where he's positioned within the frame even of all the photos is precisely the same. It's like, you're getting lazy with this flickbook, man. Like, you've just traced the same picture over and over again and put him in different situations.
The photographer did a terrible job, let's say that. Because there's one that's him, you know, there's no point in taking those pictures. They're really bad and awkward looking. It really doesn't help Moyes going in there and make him look a bit stupid. Like, here he is on the stairs. He's managed one small step for David Moyes. You know, that one of him on the stairs, as you pointed out, looks like a wedding photo where he's just alone, drunk Uncle Moyes on the stairs or something.
He shouldn't be allowed to smile either. Deep down, he really wanted to frown.
I think his frowning actually makes him look a lot cooler, if I'm honest.
Oh, okay, interesting point. Yeah, some people smile, so it don't work.
Yeah, he shouldn't show teeth, Moyes, because it makes his face kind of.
He shouldn't show a bit of leg either. You know.
Yeah, that photo with him pulling up his shorts is it's kind of disturbing.
Well, he kind of bursted through the door. And, he's gonna start off there, and we wish the best of luck.
Well, yeah, like the players will be returning today or tomorrow now.
Yeah, and so he'll have to deal with Rooney now.
It's planned in the next week. I wonder how that's gonna go down. Well, we're gonna sell you as soon as he walks in.
It's like, get out. Just take away his parking spot for when he comes back. Put somebody else's name.
We're gonna lock you in a room with Alex Ferguson until you decide to stay. This is a matter for the footballing director Alex Ferguson to handle.
Ferguson was there that day. He's sitting in the office
taking the pictures.
Moyes brought his camera, asked Ferguson to take them.
No, he's there sitting in the office. He goes, just be a minute. Yeah, just be a minute.
kind of intimidate him, like, slap him on the arse, good luck, son. You know, just
start laughing at him.
Took his mouse back.
Look at him on the stairs, fucking Egypt.
Took his mouse back.
Trips him up, starts bullying him. Oh dear. Let's go to Newcastle, lads. Let's go to Newcastle as well. Because Joe Kinnear. Joey Kinnear. Big Joe Kinnear. What do you want to call him, lads?
He was called JFK on the
podcast. Yeah, he was.
Like that. Let's call him JFK.
JFK, lads. He's at it again. He's kind of said he's the best director of football in England.
Is he better than Ambambobi?
He's better than everybody. He's
head and shoulders above everyone else.
He's quite a shampoo.
He's quite a shampoo. He looks pretty good.
He looks like
I bet that's actually what he was doing before he got. He was in the shower. He knew he had a press conference there. He's like, what will I say to them?
I'm L'Oreal above arch.
Fruck this L'Oreal.
Head and shoulders above
people.
Above everyone else.
That's what I'll say today.
I'm pretty small, but I think they might get a metaphor out of that somewhere.
Yeah, no one will not understand if I say I'm against dandruff. They'll think
maybe if I stand on this ladder, they'll get a ball. What's going on?
I am the ultimate dandruff fighter. Joe, what are you talking about? Joe, you asked about your policies for transfers. Head and shoulders!
That kind of does sound like the stuff he'd say anyway.
Oh, my God.
I'd be surprised if he pronounced it right, though.
He just claimed that he's better than every other director of football.
This is a guy who can open doors for anybody in football or something like that.
Well, he knows how they work, all doors. He used to work in a door factory, yeah. I believe. And he knows all types of handles. One with keys, one without, one with a handle, beads.
How
can open the beads.
Let's talk to me.
I don't know.
Stop. Like, oh, a press conference. I said Joe along again.
I went so well that also. So I keep imagining now that you said that he can open up any doors. I just imagine him with an axe knocking down a door like in The Shining.
Yeah, Joey.
Or just every time, like, he walks around with Pardew and Pardew wants to, you know, I'm just going to go into the office. I'll get that for you. Axes the door
and comes in and starts talking to him through the door. So just kind of pops his head.
Please just use the handle.
You alright, Alan?
Well, no, he wouldn't. Again, he'd do kind of what we were saying first. He'd kind of go in and kind of grab Pardew by the face. Alright, mate, what's going on?
Come in the first day. Which one uses Alan Pardew?
Oh, it's going to be such a fun
year. It's
going to
be a good laugh.
What, 2 months in, is he going to be gone?
He'll be the manager in a few months.
I don't know, I can't.
He'll be leading them down into League One or something. Actually, we'll drop down to the Championship for a minute. Talk about QPR, who have managed to offload. They've sold Chris Samba, or they are selling Chris Samba back to Angie
McAchalice. Yeah, I think... There must have been a deal in place before. There must have been a deal when they signed him. That if we get relegated, we sell him back.
It's a strange one because...
They should have said that last year. That would have, if they'd have told us that this... Maybe I'm wrong, I'm just speculating. But it seems like there's a deal in place here because it's very close close to the same amount of money. I can't imagine why Angie would pay that much for him now, whereas they could offer...
Yeah, see...
6 million and probably get him.
If that deal was in place, it makes sense. If not... Both teams look equally as stupid.
But QPR should have said, if it was the case that there was a deal in place, QPR should have said, when everyone was going, if you go to the Championship, your club is going to be destroyed. They should have gone, no, we have a clause that we can sell them back if you get relegated. No. Yeah, maybe.
Still have to pay them massive wages.
The chairman.
Yeah, well, they've had to pay them 100. They've offloaded that now, 100 grand a week. You know?
And with that money, they've brought in Steve McLaren
as the coach. He's back in England. What accent does he have on him now, huh?
It's just a really bad Harry Redknapp impression.
Yeah.
All right!
He's just kind of... It's just that kind of like...
And
then he got sacked for doing that exact impression.
Yeah. Seems like a strange one, you know. He's been linked with jobs.
He's been trying to get back to England.
He's been linking himself with jobs.
Trying to get back, and he keeps getting on the wrong flight.
He keeps turning up on Sky Sports going like, yeah, I'll take the Wigan job. Yeah, I'll take the Nottingham Forest job.
Yeah, I'll take that.
I'm available.
What's that you say? You think Liverpool need another centre-back? I'm your man.
Hey, I found this janitorial notice on your... Board out there, Sky Sports. Yeah, I'll take the job.
Do you need some more pundits?
No, we've already got...
I speak Gareth Dutch!
Schief. I just put a H in there. Schief. Nice rundown, Steve McLaren.
what a fantastic way for him to come back, though.
Underwhelming way. Yeah.
Like, he's not even a manager. He's, like, after leaving, you know, Wolfsburg, SA20, not only is he, you know, come back to the Championship... But no longer a manager or assistant manager, just a coach.
And it's that team that's got relegated.
It's time to rebuild.
Holistic
the McLaren Empire. It's time to rebuild it all.
Let's see how this unfolds over the next season.
It's all set up for a great, entertaining season.
Yeah, chuck it here, Steve McLaren.
Jeez, lads.
What about we're not finishing up yet, are we? We still have one or two topics to chuck in there, because I'd like to talk a little about the possibility of Carlos Tevez having a suspended prison sentence.
You mentioned this earlier. Yeah. Because he's got a community service to do in Manchester.
Yeah.
And he's going to Juventus.
Signed for Juventus, 12 million deal. Yeah. Which, pretty decent deal, I think, for Juventus.
Yeah, but
I
suppose...
He's a couple of very good years of football left in him.
Yeah. next season his contract is up, so
good
Man City couldn't
really
done anything anyway, so they get a bit of money, so
Mancini claimed that Tevez was no trouble.
What are you talking about? He said that about Balotelli as well.
Yeah.
He should just not say things.
Yeah.
Just keep taking ads out of the paper. but how that would be very strange, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, you'll have to. I'm not sure how much longer community. I imagine a while.
Mm.
It can't be that long. But surely he's going to have to go to Italy and fly to England to this community service. Leaving even less time for him to see his family.
Yeah.
Which is what he wanted in the first place.
He is slightly closer.
Yeah, we
now.
Talked about this.
What's
it,
like 69.6 miles closer to Buenos Aires than Manchester Turin is?
Yeah.
There you go. So it was just that little difference that
he was. It's only a stone's throw away.
I don't really understand that because it seems geographically to be going the opposite direction. But anyway, it must be just because it's more southern.
Yeah,
so
maybe.
Or maybe
it's
that
way.
Must be it.
South America peaks out closer to Europe rather than
it's the time difference or something, I don't know.
Yeah, it's probably not the time difference.
It might be something to do with the axis of the hemisphere.
Unless you fly the other way.
Football!
yeah, geography will be acid.
Yeah. But the moon is in charge of the tide, so.
And the moon looks like a football!
Yeah! Football!
Segway!
Talking about German football.
Talking about the moon.
Go to Germany, as I said. They're on top of German football. This is Bayern Munich.
Yeah.
Big Bayern Munich. Pep Guardiola in charge for the first game. They went 15-1.
15-1. Conceded a goal. I don't think they'd be too happy with that.
Terrible.
Our lawyer is going to be sold.
Yeah.
He was generally well received from what I've read, Guardiola, as he would be.
You would imagine that, yeah.
And yeah, they 15-1 against a sort of local fans team.
Yeah, I don't know anything.
It's basically like us playing.
Yeah, it's basically just a bunch of lads.
No, I'm going to say we concede more.
Definitely concede more.
Yeah. Yes, I agree. But could I mark... As I've mentioned so many times in the show, I'm a Philip Lam-esque fullback myself. Now, would you guys allow me to play like right wing if he was playing left back? Just to kind of hang around him for a bit?
Just hug him a bit?
Yeah, well...
Smell him.
I won't get into detail, but... You know, just to kind of, would that be all right? Would that be acceptable?
Yeah, we're not going to be playing.
Yeah, go
grand.
For it.
All right. Okay, well, we'll work on tactics after.
Yeah, okay, cool.
15-1. That's it.
Not bad.
No, it was a good start. I mean,
he did actually start Neuer and Kroos.
Yeah,
I think
Muller.
Like some serious players in that game.
Yeah.
And then it was.
And then Hans Schmidt from old local Bayern Munich fan group FC. Hey,
fair play to him. That must be some moment to score.
I actually don't know who scored.
I know, what's your man's name? Young guy. It's meant to be coming through.
Yeah,
Vireuch or something like that. He scored four. I think Frank Ribery scored in the second half when he came on.
Yeah,
bizarre. These players playing against an amateur team.
Yeah.
You're like, what benefit is this? And Guardiola saying, I want to see what the players play like. So, you know what Ribery and Robben and Neuer are about. Why are you playing them against this team? I'd say the fans didn't care. They were like deadly.
Yeah. I'd say it would have been unbelievable to
see those. I probably accidentally booked like 18 tickets to look at my card later.
You didn't book anything, it's not like.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's off to a good start there. And again, we'll see how that unfolds. Probably going to go quite well.
Yeah.
But, you know, might be as good as like us.
No, maybe not. But, I mean, it's a new project.
It's a very difficult...
To be
better than
Rankus.
Although he does have one other trophy to go for, the German Super Cup. And the European Super Cup.
And
so he can win one.
The World Cup.
Yeah, he can win. He can win everything.
Could they do one of
those... In the first season, they go, now I have nothing to
do. Could they do one of those things where they offer, like, whoever it was that Phil Brown replaced, and offer, like, you can march the team out for the Super Cup to Rankus, except... He'll say no, and Phil Brown will turn up and march out with the team. Just fly to Germany to lead them out. I'm like, we didn't say you could do this.
It was Paul Sturrock.
Paul Sturrock, yeah.
Phil Brown turned up being all pally with Pep.
A big Stein beer in the hand as he walks out, belting
with his leather jacket on.
Belting out some Sloop John B in poorly translated German.
I was
German.
Thinking belting out some 909 singing Love Balloons. That seems like a Phil Brown type song. You sing one like that.
Or just coming out with 99 red balloons attached to him and then
he
takes off as soon as he...
Oh, what a wanker. I think we'll leave it there, lads.
Great.
That is the end of the season. Just there now. You know, we came back for these Confederations Cup matches. You know, we were being... giving you some extra bonus podcasts. And of course, next year you'll have the World Cup ones to look forward to. But we'll be off for the next 6 weeks or so. Yeah. We'll be back. We'll be back eventually, though, guys. We will let you know when we're getting back. Get on the Twitter, you know, follow us at 12th Man Podcast, just 12th, numerical 12.
Yeah.
Or get on the Facebook page, the 12th Man Podcast, you know, just Google it.
We'll probably be ever present on those, even though we're away from this old recorder.
Yeah, well, we do have lives to live as well. But, you know, look, we'll be around. Don't
Speak
worry.
Yourself.
We'll be back. We'll be back shortly. It's only a couple of weeks till the season starts, and we'll be back with a preview. Looking forward to everything. And well, sure, we'll see how it goes, won't we, lads? We'll see how it goes.
Exactly.
Don't want to make any promises, any kind of wild promises. This will be the best year of the podcast ever.
Yeah, well, you know, we're not making that promise, but, you know, wink, wink.
As well, for one last time, lads, thank you, Declan Maher.
Happy Confederation.
And happy.
Happy new.
Year?
Summer.
No, your Confederation.
Happy new signing, Tevez.
No, thank you, Victor.
Awful way to end.
Yeah. I'm a sad, sad person now.
Happy Phil Brown.
There you go.
Same. Goodbye.
Three of us. It could be male or female, but we all have to agree that they're attractive.
Cavani?
No, I don't think he's very attractive.
From behind. Long Looks hair like and woman. Stuff.
If you pretend he's a girl.
Andy Carroll?
Oh god, no. You can never pretend
he's a girl. Andy Carroll's a bad looking bloke.
He's and 8 foot tall.
That's alright. It's not about. It's not about.
He's too big to fit in the bank.
I don't know. Jesus. Will we ever agree on a woman?
We're all relatively similar.
Oh, I can't sleep now. Oh, real soothing noises are making me fall asleep. I don't like
I used to always hang out with Dennis here when down by the bins.
That's amazing. That's smoking around the back.
You taught me everything you knew.
No, actually, he taught me how to be left by. I was a rifle, if you recall.
Yeah.
He said, if you smoke loads and hang by bins and just pretend to be class. And it worked.
I don't know if you did.
Look at me.
You were looking at me. My ego is massive.
Oh, my penis is tiny.
Hey. Literally, they're taking like, if you played all those pictures, it would be one of those robot-y movement things.
They're taking a wedding photo or something.
By himself.
You're going to Photoshop just a United crest wearing a dress and a veil.
When they show Shakira, they're like, I'd fuck her. Del Bosque and Scolari could easily be broke.
They do look a bit like
I actually had to go, because I thought that a while ago, but now that they were playing each other in the finals, like, I actually have to look at a picture of them side to side. They could be the Mario brothers getting very old. Del Bosque would be Luigi and Scolari would be Mario, because Scolari's a bit smaller but a little bit pudgier, I think. If you look at Del Bosque's face, very long and saggy.
Yeah, he does it very often. Do you think he could jump in the air and keep his legs to keep him?
If he got a raccoon suit, he probably could fly.
Who is Toad in this scenario? I'd like to know.
Whatever you want.
Fred could be Toad.
Well,
Fred
could be a princess.
Yeah. Definitely Taras.